First John chapter 4. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, 1 John 4, we'll be reading verses 7 through 11. That's on page 1324 if you're using a pew Bible, 1324. While you're going to that, just thinking about different things. If you've been here for any amount of time, a while ago I mentioned that Leland bought me a new mic and it goes on the left-hand side of my face now, which messes me up. I used to be on the right-hand side, and you don't care about this, and I'm sorry, I apologize. So I got this left-handed mic, which led me to talk about left-handed kissing. And left-handed kissing is very hard to do. And I'm mentioning left-handed kissing because your assignment was to go home and try it. And if you right-handed kissing is the guy tilts his head to the right, and so does the woman. But left-handed kissing is you tilt your head the other way, which is much harder to do. Jake kissed his wife left-handed in the video right there. See that? Now, that's impressive to me. Only Hollywood actors can kiss left-handed. So, Jake, you missed your calling right there, and I just absolutely love that. Jeff is sitting behind me, and he says to his wife, he kissed her left-handed, you know? Now, see, that's the type of spiritual growth I appreciate in this church. You know, and there's no other Baptist church in meeting in America today that's having this conversation. And, you know, we are a unique group here in Cornerstone, and I love how you folks you hang on to every word that I say. So why don't you stand with me, please, as we honor God's word in 1 John chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning as we look into your word. And we've been talking about love in the month of February, and we've drifted into the month of March. And this is the last Sunday that we will be talking on this message. I pray that we'd be able to bring a proper closing to this all-important subject. Help us to understand your teachings, that your Holy Spirit would work freely here today, that we would be known as people that love one another just like you did. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Love is misunderstood. It is taken out of context. It is messed up. When we were kids, teenagers, one of the things that we would play was a game called "I Love You, Honey, But I Just Can't Smile." Does anybody ever played that? Sherry knows what I'm talking about. Pam does. Okay, so what would happen here is that we would go down and you would get down in front of, we're teenagers now, so you'd get down in front of any girl, it didn't matter who it was, you'd draw lots, and they'd say, "Okay, Stan, you have Emily." So you'd get down in front of Emily, and I would have to say to her, "I love you, honey." I'd say, "Do you love me, honey?" And she would have to respond to me, "I love you, honey, but I just can't smile." And I would have to try to get her to smile. And if I couldn't get her to smile, you said it three times, she'd say, "I love you, honey, but I just can't smile." And I'd look at her, "But do you love me, honey?" And if she could pull off three times, "I love you, honey, but I just can't smile," then I was still it. And I was stuck with going around. Finally, yeah, I ended up doing it to a guy. You do it to someone that would laugh. And so that was supposed to be the game, "I love you, honey." Well, you know, as ridiculous as that was, really, in today's society, we got no better understanding on love than that game. That we think, I shouldn't tell you, I grew up in a Christian home, but you know, you hear songs and things. A popular song back in the old days was "Take the Ribbon from My Hair, Let It Loose and Let It, Take It Loose and Let It Fall. Lay it soft against your skin like the shadow on the wall. Come and lay down by my side till the early morning light. All I'm taking is your time. Help me make it through the night. I don't care what's right or wrong, and I don't try to understand. Let the devil take tomorrow, but tonight I need a man." Of course, a woman was singing this. Thank you. And so in the title of the song was "Another Man Loved Me Last Night." No, there was no love involved. Another man took advantage of you last night is all that's about. But that's how the world looks at love. Do we agree with that? There is a proper way to look at love. Love is more than a strong emotion. It's more than allowing someone what they want so that they're not offended. Love is more than a night between the sheets. Love is more than a hug when hurting or a kiss when smiling. Love is an action that mimics the behavior of God. I want to say that one more time. Love is an action that mimics the behavior of God. We are warned in the Bible of what not to love. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Go back to Genesis in the garden. Eve looked at the apple or looked at the fruit. Looked at the fruit. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes played into it. In the year 2016, the world is still working on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This morning I'm wearing Arthur Baker's tie. If you have been in this church for any amount of time, Marcia is here today, the grandkids. Art knew the Lord as his Savior, was killed in a logging accident. He's in heaven today. He that does the will of God abides forever. How do we start doing the will of God? Well, number one, we trust Christ as our personal Savior. We dedicate our heart and life to him. And now we celebrate the resurrection. And we'll talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about it big next Sunday because the resurrection is the life-changing message of faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that it isn't all about this. Really, what it's all about is when we leave here, not when you leave the Cornerstone Baptist Church, but when you leave this life and are promoted into the next life, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. But that all starts out with love not the world. Say that with me. Love not the world. So let's make sure we're loving the right things. The world is lying to you about what love is. Love states the truth. Love seeks to grow, and love searches for godly answers. Number one, love states the truth. Revelation 3:19, I'll just throw it out to you very quick, but it's to the Laodicean church, and the verse says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. As many as I love, I hug and tell them it's going to be okay. As many as I love, I tell them, you do whatever you want. I love you. As many as I love, I tell you that I don't want to offend you. There's nothing I want to say that I want to upset you. I love you so much, I'm just going to let you do what you want to do. That's not what it says. It says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Rebuke is to confront. Now, folks, that's never met well. That doesn't go well. But what you want, though, is if someone's going to rebuke you or if someone's going to chasten you, the boot, okay? You want it to be someone that loves you in discipline. You don't want someone disciplining you that does not love you. God loves you. Say that with me. God loves you. He says in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke. Why? Because he knows we're sinful and we're not always going to do the right thing. And I chasten. That's the chastening hand of God. Mark talked about it in the adult Sunday school class this morning, that God will get after you. And Mark testified that God got after him when he was out of line. And he'll get after you. And if he does not get after you, when you are stepping outside of the boundaries of what you know is right, I submit to you, it's possible you're not saved. Because if you can do anything you want with no consequences, then you're not part of the family of God. One reason why I know that I'm a believer, that Christ is in my heart, because I get away with nothing. It's not because I live with Emily. It's because Christ is my Savior. You can't. There is no joy in sin. Now, the Bible says it's pleasant for a season, and you can get away with some things for a little bit, but after a while, God's going to reach down, and he's going to get a hold of you, and he's going to get your attention, and I can't tell you just how that's going to go, but I'll tell you this, it'll be worse than you think it is. Because the discipline from God is always worse than you think it is. We're so concerned today in society that the punishment has to fit the crime. That's a bunch of hooey. The punishment doesn't have to fit the crime. If you sin, the Bible says death comes by sin. Adam ate a piece of fruit that he wasn't supposed to. Death sentence. As far as I'm concerned, you speed, you die. That's what the godly principles are. That's how it all started out. Sin equals death. You know, that doesn't fit the crime. Talk to God about it. Because that's the deal. Whom I love, I rebuke and chasten. Now, here's the deal. God loves you, and he's not going to strike you dead today. If God struck dead every Christian that sinned, there wouldn't be anybody here, all right, including me. But who I love, I rebuke and chasten. I just want to say to you very quickly this morning, I'm not rebuking you per se, although if something I say, if the Holy Spirit confronts you, then I'd say you need to deal with that. Or God will chasten you. So here's the deal. What I am doing is I am rebuking America today. I am rebuking what's happening to society. I am greatly concerned for how love and relationships are being treated. And I'll give you a couple of examples of that this morning. I was working late Friday night listening to the radio in the vehicle that I was in. Dennis Rainey's Family Life Today program was on. Maybe you heard it on Friday. They were doing an interview. They brought in a specialist, if you will, an expert, to talk about the subject of this mom had reported in and said, listen, I just wanted you to know that there's my daughter and this girl are constantly hanging out together. They're in eighth grade. They're always together. They're always together. There doesn't seem to be anybody else. They're always together. So she said to her one day, honey, why is it that it's always just, don't you ever want to bring anybody else into your fold? Don't you ever want to have any other friends? And she said, no, Mom, that's not it. We're the only two in our class that aren't gay. That's what she said. And so, obviously, this woman was reporting in, and it got to Dennis Rainey. They brought in an expert to talk about the phenomenon. And what was decided was that's probably not true, but what is true is it's so hip and accepted now, they want to be so different, they want to get attention, that they have no problem with people thinking that that's what they are or what they're doing. And what the world is saying is, listen, if you want satisfaction, no longer are they telling eighth graders, junior highers to put off whatever they want to try. If you like it and you want it, try it now. Get it now. Everything is about right now. And I'm telling you, the Bible says, there's a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Whatever you want to try now, if it's contrary to God's word, Satan came to steal and to kill and to destroy. He wants you dead. Katy Perry sang in 2008, I kissed a girl and I liked it. Hope my boyfriend doesn't mind. 2008, I just found out about that song in the last couple of weeks. I'm a little behind the times, okay? If you go on YouTube and you punch that in, it's got 93 million hits on YouTube. Folks, whom I love, I rebuke and chasten. I don't know how that affects you, but it breaks my heart. It depresses me. I'm so concerned about what society is becoming. Satan is having a heyday. And we don't dare to say anything about it because we don't want to be offensive or we don't want people not to like us. Or it's possible preaching in this tone that they're visiting here today and you may not come back next Sunday because you don't like what I'm saying. And folks, I love you. I'm not making this up. I love you. And whom you love, you've got to rebuke and chasten. Let me tell you something. There is a better way, and it's following the path of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, the Christian life works. And love is absolutely what we want to pursue, but love states the truth. And I just want you to know what the truth is today, and the world's got it all wrong. The world's telling you that for you to be happy, to get what you want out of life, not to think of the future, but try what feels good right now. Don't wait. Why deny yourself? Romans chapter 1. We're going to be in Romans 1 at 1 Corinthians 13, but we're going to go very quickly to Romans chapter 1. I want to give you some highlights. What is happening today in 2016 is nothing new. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, and there isn't. Anything new, I like the saying someone says there's nothing new under the sun, there's just old ideas to new listeners. So Satan's good at reboxing things and making it sound like you've never heard that before. Maybe you never have heard it before and you think it's brand new. No, it's old. Romans chapter 1 is confronting some of the things. And remember, the series on our messages is faith, hope, and love. So Romans chapter 1 starts out with the actual greeting, hi guys, nice to see you, in verses 1 through 8. And then it says, he talks about in verse 8, I thank God through Jesus Christ that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. People are talking about you. I was talking to someone this morning, I won't point her out, but and she said, oh, you go to Cornerstone, that's that pastor that owns an oil company. Isn't that interesting? I guess that's what I'm known for. I like that pastor. That guy, well, I hear he's a great preacher. I wish they'd. I wanted to. Oh, that's the guy that owns an oil company. Well, whatever. That's true. I'm not going to deny it. But the reality of it is, people are talking about you. And that's what they're saying about me. Okay. But in Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, your faith is spoken of. And then verse number 11. That I may be comforted together with your mutual faith. They had a bond in Christ. One thing about this, the singing this morning, that what's going on in this service, there's a bond of people here that we agree together on things. That's why we're here. This is our family. There's a mutual faith. And then lastly, there's a manifested faith. In verse 16, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Say that with me. The just shall live by faith. I'll tell you what, right now, folks, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible is Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I just absolutely love this book, love this story, love the life-changing message that happens when folks would just say, you know what, I believe that, and they follow it, and I'm telling you, we live a splendid life in Jesus Christ. I've experienced true love, not selfish, not taking, but love that gives to one another, gives from God Almighty, gives to my wife, gives to others. This take type of love will never satisfy. It does not work. You're drinking salt water and you're going to die of thirst. But I'll tell you what, the gospel of Jesus Christ is nothing I'm ashamed of. I love it. I love to talk about it. I love to live it. I hope you do too. But from that point on, after verse 17, things get bad. And if you look in Romans chapter 1, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, who hold the truth as if it's a lie. Ever been called a liar, delusional, bigoted, homophobic, haters? That's what they call us, and it is just the opposite of who we truly are. But that's what they want to do. Satan's great at shouting that message. Verse 19, because that which the baby known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it to them. They know it. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen. They've been aware. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Verse 24, God gave them up. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible, in verse 23, into an image made like unto corruptible things. That's idolatry. Verse 25, who turned the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator. Idolatry again. Verse 26, God gave them up. Here's what they did in verse 26, though. Their affections from women did change to the natural use, to that which is against nature. Women more interested in women than men. Hard to believe, but that's what Katy Perry's singing about. That's what's pretty common as you turn on regular daytime TV now. That it's worked in, I think it was 10 or 15 years ago. The fact was that there was no sitcom being written that did not have a gay writer on the staff. Every one of them. There isn't a sitcom in TV today that doesn't put in some jab for the same style, same lifestyle. What's the one? Modern Family. Folks, that's no modern family. It's a lost family that needs Jesus Christ. That's the deal. God gave them up. Verse 27, likewise, men leaving the natural use of a woman. Same story, men for men. Verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in the knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Holy. Without, verse 31, without natural affection. And obviously, we don't have time this morning to expound on all these things, but so much of it is it explains itself. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. They know the end isn't good, but they don't care. I want what I want when I want it. I'll come back to that. Have pleasure in them that not only do the same, commit the same things, but have pleasure in them that do them. They celebrate when you're just as pathetic as they are because it makes them feel better about themselves. That's what it's about. Love states the truth. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Folks, let Romans chapter 1 be a billboard to you of a love that does not work, that is absolutely wrong, and the end thereof are the ways of death. Love states the truth. I know you folks don't want to hear that. The world would go berserk over that. I've thought many times as we're in the political season that if I ever wanted to run for office, and if folks wanted to get a hold of some of the messages that I have preached, holy, you can forget that. But you know what? I'm not running for political office. I'm hoping to honor my Savior, Jesus Christ. Because the greatest thing you can do is tell someone else, tell a man, tell a boy, tell a woman, tell a girl about Jesus Christ. It's the highest calling there is. Love states the truth. Number two, love seeks to grow. 1 Corinthians 13, I'll confess to you that I have started memorizing scripture in 2016. So if you'll go to 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to get in trouble on this. So if you're in 1 Corinthians 13, follow along with me. One of the passages that I've memorized this year is 1 Corinthians 13. And you can sit in your office and quote it all day long, but when you get into a group like this and you guys are all saying, this guy's an idiot, he can't pull this off, and you would be right. So what's going to happen is I'm going to try to quote 1 Corinthians 13 for you. I'm going to stop in verse 11 because verse 11 is where I want to go, okay? But 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter of the Bible. And so you follow along with me. When I get stuck, you shout out the word I need in the King James Version, okay? If you're doing it in the other version, you won't help me a bit, okay? But so 1 Corinthians 13 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Let's stop right there for a second. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Where the world is today, right now, is we refuse to grow up. Love seeks to grow. And what is it that we do with our kids is one of the problems we fight with a 3-year-old and a 7-year-old and sometimes a 21-year-old, a 25-year-old and a 30-year-old and a 54-year-old is that we want what we want when we want it. We don't want anybody to tell us, no, we want this. And when we can't have it, we have a temper tantrum. My wife was talking to me about one of our kids this morning. Doing not exactly what he or she was told. I won't identify him. But he's a male. Anyway. And you can see him fighting back on it. Yeah, it's Phil. He's in Florida. Yeah. Yeah. You can see him fighting back on it. Whom I love, I rebuke and chasten. When I was a kid, when Phil was little, when different boy, same family. When Phil was young, I said, Phil, when do you come and become a man? The correct answer was, when I put away childish things. Christians, America needs to grow up and stop complaining that we can't have it all. Because let me tell you something, compared to the rest of the world and even your neighbor, you probably do have it all. But we want what we want when we want it. And we're just punks having temper tantrums. And that's what I look at when I see our spoiled brat millionaires and billionaires having fits about whatever that's not right. Grow up. Grow up. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. What we need is a few more men in America that are willing to deny themselves and stop playing with their toys. Midlife crisis goes on. And you know what? It's become an acceptable thing in America that if some middle-aged guy dumps his wife of 25 years and goes and finds a younger model. Now, well, you can understand that. That's a midlife crisis. No, that's a punk that needs to grow up. That's what that is. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Men be men. Women be women. Stop wishing for what could have been and deal with what you've got and move on. Because it's not about this life. It's about the next life. And he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Love states the truth. Love seeks to grow up. And lastly, verse number 12 is, when I was a child, speak, child, thought, child, and started a child, when I came in, I was a started child's things. For now, I hate to go through all that. For now, we see through a glass darkly. What's that about? We don't know the future. God does not want you to know the future. And the reason for that is you can't handle it. I love that line in that Tom Cruise movie. They're talking to who's the other actor in it? Thank you, Jack Nicholson. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. You know? It's the only part of the movie I've ever seen. I hope it's a good one. But anyway, you know what? Everybody, when you were young, you wanted to know the future. As you get older, the less you want to know the future. God knows we can't handle the future. So when you look through a glass darkly, the picture of the Bible is that you're looking through a poorly lit mirror. Back in the day, we have wonderful mirrors now that give an exact reflection of who we are, and we wish they didn't, but they do. And so you look at that, and you see things, and boy, I don't have time to get into the details of what I see in the mirror, but anyway, I don't like what I see. But they didn't have those kind of mirrors back then, so you think, well, maybe it's like looking through dark glasses like sunglasses, but sunglasses isn't so, and I know I look incredibly cool like this, but that's not, I can see fine with sunglasses on, that's not it. I've entitled this message, Life Looking Through a Welding Helmet, okay? Because I don't know how many welders there are, how many welders? A few of you. Now, the rest of you, sad to say, you might not get this, but I took this is one of my welding helmets. I have several of them. This one, I actually, Emily wasn't home, so I brought it in and put it in the kitchen sink and washed it. And confession's good for the soul, but anyway. And by the way, that brush that you scrub your dishes with, you might not want to do that anymore. So what happens, though, is with a welding helmet, we look through a glass darkly. You put this thing on, okay? Can you hear me? Do I sound like I'm talking in a real small room? So you put this thing on, and
they're designed so you've got this little thing here like this you can look through. So now I can see you, but now I can't. Okay.
So what you can see though is when you start striking the arc, the electrode. It is so bright. Now it's like looking daytime. Now they have the automatic helmets now that come on and off instantly, and you don't have to flip this up anymore. Those are for wimps. This is a real helmet here. But anyway, I just had to throw that out. So what happens, though, is as you're welding, the dark glass comes on, and you can absolutely see exactly what you're working on and nothing else. But if you could try to do it without the dark glass, you would damage your eyes. Possibly, if you did it enough, you'd go blind. Okay? I'm saying all that is that the dark glass that God is allowing us to see right now is just the point of light that you need to be focused on. Forget everything else. Okay? I don't care what you're welding, whether it's a truck frame or a piece of pipe, what's down on the other end doesn't matter. What matters is what you're working on right now. So Paul says, now you see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I'm going to know someday, even as I am known. In other words, I believe folks say, are you going to have perfect knowledge in heaven? I think you are. Because the Bible says, I'm going to know even as also I am known. God knows Stan Griffin perfectly. Someday, I'm going to know me. I'm going to know him just like he knows me. I will understand things. The lights will come on. But right now, we don't see enough. And we're wondering, oh, Lord, what can't you just... No. I'm not going to reveal to you any more than you need to know. Just concentrate on what you can see right now and forget about all the rest. Keep looking forward. Say that with me. Keep looking forward. All you're concerned about right now is the assignment that you can see that God has given you. He'll take care of the rest in the future. He'll forgive you for what's behind you in the past. But all you can concentrate on right now is what you can see in the welding helmet, guys. What you can see in that dark place that he's given you just enough light to see. I don't have any idea what's going to happen at 11:01. That's out of my sight. All I've got right now is 10:59. That's it. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Let me tell you something right now. If you're here under the sound of my voice, God has given you enough light for you to see what he wants you to do right now. Not tomorrow, not yesterday. Right now. A minute ago is already history. All you've got is right now. You've got right now. What happened a second ago is gone. It's gone. It's got away from you. All you got is right now. The last right now I said is gone. All you got is right now. Are you with me? So all you can do is concentrate on the light God has given you. And if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you are flirting with the enemy. You are courting the wrong team. You are going to lose in the battle of life. Or God has revealed to you his word, his truth, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Two girls are going to walk the Appalachian Trail. We have no idea how that's going to go. They're excited. It might be a disaster. We don't know. I'm not kidding. I know one thing, I wouldn't do it, okay? On the other hand, you can give your life to Jesus Christ and know that he holds you in the palm of his hand and he loves you and nothing can happen to you without his okay. I choose that. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. I pray this morning for every person that's here that at some point in their life they've prayed, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior, that they've trusted you, that there is no other way. Whom I love, I rebuke and chasten. And Lord, I know that way more than this pathetic pastor, you absolutely love these people and gave your son to die in their place. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. You did it all, and you did it for me. Lord, I pray that every person has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. And then, Lord, for us as Christians, help us to grow up. Stop wanting things that don't belong to us and never should be ours. Turn off the screens, turn off the TVs, turn off the pathetic entertainment, and focus our eyes on the things of Christ. Never be ashamed. Lord, we love you. I hope this series of messages has made sense. I hope that we will make up our minds that we're more in love with you than we've ever been before. We'll open the altar. I pray that folks will respond, that they'd hold nothing back from you because you held nothing back from them. for those that are here this morning that need you as their Savior, please, 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 Holy Spirit, convict them. Help them to see their need, and right now say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. For Christians that have been living wrong, making poor choices, doing the wrong things, I pray they felt your chastening hand this morning, that you'll not have to do any more to them, because right now they'll say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I stop what I am doing. I turn to you. I repent. I agree with you with what I've done is wrong, and I repent. God, bring us to you. Bring us to you, please. We'll open the altar. If folks want questions answered, someone to pray with them, maybe they want to join the church, present themselves for baptism, or just talk to you, help us to do it. In Jesus' name.